Amen. Hallelujah. We just want to welcome Brother Jack back with us this morning. And you come on up, Jack. I just want to share a word that God gave me for you during praise and worship. The Holy Spirit was just really talking to me about some things. And I just want to share that with you this morning. Amen. Blessed to have you and Patsy back in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Stretch forth your hands this morning. Thank you, Father God. Brother Jack, when I was sitting over this morning, I seen you putting a new pair of sneakers on. And I began to say, Lord, what does this mean? And God says, tell the son of righteousness, is what he said. He said, tell my son of righteousness that I am renewing his physical body for this upcoming year. He said, there's never been a spirit of quit within you. When you took on something and you said, well, it's not going to work that way, you always found a way to make it work. And he said, this upcoming year, God says it's going to be a year of increase where I'm going to open some doors for you. He said, you think you've been busy. He said, you're going to get even more busy. And he said, that's why I'm renewing the spirit of strength within you, the spirit of might that's going to come upon you. And there's just going to be some awesome things happen for you and Patsy in this upcoming 2018 year. So he said, I'm just renewing your strength. I'm just renewing your strength. I'm renewing your body to take on that which I'm calling you into. So he said, eyes. He said, you're going to see some things that you've not seen before. And he said, I'm anointing your ears to hear like you've never heard before. Hallelujah. There's just something awesome getting ready to take place in the ministry that God's called you to. And Father, we thank you for this man. We thank you for his faithfulness over the years, Father God. We thank you right now, Lord, that the spirit of might that's coming up on him, Father God. We thank you that you're renewing his strength for that which that you have called him to. His physical strength is even being renewed today, Father God. And we just thank you for the word that you've placed in his heart, God, that is burning like a fire. Hallelujah. And everywhere he goes, the fire of God's going to be ignited in an awesome, awesome way. And we just speak over this son of yours today, God, in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. And we're looking forward to hearing some reports from this ministry next year. Amen.
Aduna. Pastor Shirley, thank you. This year has been so busy. so busy. And you know, Ricardo and I and Matthew, we spent most of the day together yesterday, and it was awesome. We didn't talk about fishing. We didn't talk about hunting. We talked about the Lord. And you know what? I want to ask something, too, before I go any further. If you got one of these, shut it off, put it on silent, lay it face down. I don't want to see nobody. Nobody. Looking at a cell phone. We're in God's house for God's hour. If you're a doctor and it's on vibrate, you get a vibrate, go outside and answer it. This right here, and this may be coming like a rebuke, I don't know, but I'm telling you what the Lord's telling me to do right now. I never do this. The Lord is saying, lay it down. Don't look at it until you get out that door. Don't do it. If you can't restrain yourself, then go on outside and look at it. This is destroying us. It's destroying a lot of things, and it's affecting the church. I use this 24/7. If I lost this, I'd go crazy. I have all my appointments in here. All my contacts are in here. everything. But listen, we're in church. We're in God's house, so let's put them away, okay? Can we do that? Thank you. This past year has been very, very demanding and challenging on both Patsy and I. We've dealt with some health issues. And Sister Shirley, I received that because Wednesday I go in for a heart cath. So I received that. And I believe that was God. But Ricardo and Matthew and I got to spend a lot of time together yesterday, and we didn't talk about fishing or hunting. We talked about God. We talked about the church. We talked about the Lord. And we shared back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It was riding down the road and stopping, going here and going there. And we were talking about where we are now today as a nation, where we're headed as a nation. What's happening to the church? I just read yesterday where in Sweden, the church, the elders of the church had their, I don't know if it's an annual meeting or whatever they had, but you know what they decided? Now listen, this is supposed to be, and it's a very, very well-known denominational organization. And you know what their decision was after they come out of this meeting? They told all their clergy, all their churches, you cannot, you will not refer to God. You will not use the phrase man. You will not use the phrase men anymore. Because we as a church, we don't want to be offensive. We want to be gender neutral. So if I'm willing to adhere to that, then I cannot call you a man of God. I can't call you a woman of God. I cannot say that God, we're not allowed to do that. They accepted that. That denomination accepted that. That's what's happening. And one of the largest denominations known to man bought it. They agreed to it. They said, okay, we accept that. I prayed about, of course, I knew I was going to be preaching here today last year. So I had a lot of time to pray about what God wanted me to bring here for you, but for me first. So what God wanted me to bring here today, and if Ricardo would have continued up here, he'd have preached the full sermon. I was getting a little nervous. But what I want to talk about today, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 12, 1b. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I want to talk about endurance / perseverance. You could call it endurance or perseverance. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And I think it's always good to get the definition of a word to refresh us as to its meaning. So when I researched this word, this is what I came up with. The fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way or giving in. Now follow me, because this is very, very important. Now let's read some of the synonyms of this word, which are toleration, tolerance, sufferance, forbearance, patience, acceptance, and resignation. Now let's look at another scripture concerning the same word. It's in Matthew 24:13. Matthew 24:13. But he, so I can't use that word anymore, but someone who endures to the end shall be saved. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And let us remember what the great apostle Paul said to us in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. And this is the apostle Paul talking. And he said this. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. He said, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. He said, listen, guys, I've run this race, and I've fought this fight. I've kept the faith, and I finished my course. I've run my race. So that's saying something to each one of us in here. What are we doing? We're all in a race. Let us note that Paul uses the words my course or my race. We all have our own course or our own race to run and hopefully finish. Because you know what? As the Apostle Paul said, he said, I'm not there yet. I'm running and I'm looking heavenward. I'm trying to get there. But we're not there yet, guys. Folks, we're not there yet. So we're engaged in a battle. We're engaged in a race. We're still running. And I know that life can get tough. Amen? And you can, I like congregational participation. You can say amen. I know this church. You're allowed to communicate and speak. Listen, every one of us in here are fighting something or some things. Amen. Yeah. We're all going through something. We're dealing with something. Come on, man. The car broke down. It ain't payday yet. And even when it comes, ain't going to be no money to fix the car because it ain't supposed to break down. Amen. Yeah, amen. What am I going to do now? Pray about it. Well, I pray about it, but they ain't going to fix that. Maybe. But God might just send somebody along and say, hey, let me fix that for you, brother. Let me take care of that. Well, here, the Lord told me to give you this. But we're all fighting. We're running a race. Some other translations use the word race. Some say, I have completed the race. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Ricardo, what you said up here. Listen, there's a day that we're all looking for. There's a time that we're looking toward. And I'm going to tell you, I have never seen things that I see now. I never thought I'd live long enough to see what we're seeing now, where we are now, where we cannot say anything. I can't disagree with you, and if I do, I'm a hater. I can't say certain words, because if I do, I'm a terrorist or something. So we have to be so careful anymore. So we're all struggling. And a lot of people try to act like they don't struggle. They're not dealing with anything. Come on, man, be real. Be honest. I go through stuff all the time. I deal with unpleasant people. I deal with some pleasant people. Thanks, honey. Mm-hmm. We are, yes, we are. And so do all of you. Every day is a challenge. But what the Lord wanted me to say today is, you're running a race. Every one of you are sitting here right now in this church service, and if you're like me, my mind never stops. It just won't. I guess that's a good thing. But sometimes, you know, I have to think myself asleep. I go to bed, and it's quiet, and oh boy, there it goes. I got to do this tomorrow. Now, I see you shaking your head, uh-huh. I got to do this tomorrow. Well, I got to fix that tomorrow. And then I got to go to this meeting tomorrow. And then I promised this guy I'd stop by his house and do this and do that. And it just runs and runs and runs and runs. It never quits. And they call that life. They call that life. So there's times where, you know what? There comes times where we just want to quit and give up. Anybody there? Anybody ever done that? Wow, man, you know what? I've said it many times. You know what? I just want to go somewhere, sit down. I need a break. And so life can get so hectic. Life can get so demanding and challenging. And we try to keep up with that, and we try to get everything done that needs to be done. And at the end of the day, Ricardo, and then all of a sudden we remember, oh man, I should have picked up that siding when I was down here with my son getting a cast put on. We did. But there's just so much. I want to share with you a real life story. And as I share the story, I really want you to just hone in on this, because it will speak to you and it will help you. It's a real life story, and I came across this several months ago, and it fits perfectly with this message this morning. And as I share it, I ask that you would allow it to speak to your heart and to your spirit. A real life story, and every one of us are going to be able to relate to this. Here we find a mom. She's speaking about her youngest son, who's an athlete at heart. He runs every race hard. He runs every race hard. During track season, he frequently walks off the asphalt in tears, heaving, because he has given every drop of his energy to running his race. At a recent track meet, her six-year-old son was a third leg runner on this relay team. As the runner before him got closer, Her son moved forward and extended his arm back to receive the baton. At that point, they were in fourth place. Her son hates to lose. So he sprinted faster. Too fast, in fact. And this can happen. With us as we run our race, it often results in what we call burnout. From the sidelines, they saw how much energy he extended. He was trying to close the distance between himself and the three teams in front of him. He did it, too. He passed the guy in third quickly. He zoomed past the guy in second. And before the first 100-meter curve was complete, he had moved in front of the little guy who was in first place. He held that first place position for the second 100 meters, but somewhere around the 200-meter mark, his energy waned. His legs started talking to him, and he started slowing down. He was tired after having spent so much energy catching up, and it showed. During the third 100 meters, he fell from first to second, and it appeared that he would soon fall back to third. But right at the moment that this little runner behind him threatened to catch him, the little runner heard a familiar voice. My husband was waiting for him at the first 100 meters. He was shouting to our little runner that the finish line was near. Focus on the finish, son, the father yelled. He's exhausted. His legs are burning. His chest is heaving. He's out of breath. He's ready to fall flat on his face. But his father was nearby. And he was shouting to his little son, focus on the finish, son. Focus on the finish, son. And his father yelled this, son, don't quit. Don't quit. Hold your ground. Dig deep. And focus on the finish. And I want to say that to all of us in here this morning. Listen, we've come too far. We've come too far to turn back now. Amen. You have struggled. You have persevered. You have pushed through. You have suffered setbacks. We've all in here suffered hellacious physical ailments and challenges. But don't quit. You've come too far. You've invested too much. And Shirley, you were so right on. I know without a doubt that that was God that spoke through you to me here this morning. I know that without a doubt. This year, I was a guest speaker in a church in our area where we live. My wife was sick with an upper respiratory infection. She was at home, couldn't even hardly breathe, under doctor's care. I'm caring for her. I'm doing all the stuff that I'm involved with and got to do, running here, running there, doing this and doing that, going to this meeting and that meeting. And I was also covering for our pastor who was in the hospital sick. They called me, Jack, can you come? Can you come? Yeah, I can do it. My wife said, Jack, don't take that. Don't accept that engagement. I said, but honey, they need somebody. She said, but why do you always have to be that somebody? Amen. We all want to help. We don't want to say no to our friends and brothers and sisters. We all want to say, hey, I'll be there. I'll come help you, brother. And I knew I wasn't feeling good. I knew something was wrong with me, but hard-headed, old Marine, ain't going to quit. Quit ain't in me. And Shirley, you prophesied, you spoke it. Quit ain't in me. And I was preaching. I was feeling so bad. But I got this. I can do this. Yeah, I can do it. And I was standing up there preaching. I finished the message. You hear me? I finished the message. And they always close their services with, "Brother, would you close us out in prayer today?" Or, "Sister, would you close us out in prayer today?" And I looked out. And you know what? I'm really appreciative that their podium is nailed to the floor. It's solid. You can't move it. I'm holding on to it. And I could feel it. And I looked out in the congregation. I said, "Brother Gerald, would you close us out in prayer?" And just as that person stood up, Jack went down. I was holding on, and I went down. Bam, I'm out. Laying in the choir pews, laying up there, gone. So they rushed up there to me, and in that church, a doctor attends that church, two nurses, and an EMT. They were all there. So I got all these people up there. You shouldn't take a preacher's clothes off in church. These people take my clothes off. I said, "What are you doing?" They got my shirt all undone, my ties off. They got my coat, you know, and everything. I said, "I'm all right." "No, you ain't." "I am. I'm good. I'm all right." But I had pushed myself past the limit of stupidity, I guess. And I passed out. Well, the next thing I know, I heard somebody said, "The E squad's on its way." I heard that. I said, "What? You called it? I ain't riding in the..." Well, I ended up in the hospital anyhow. But we can do that. We can get so tired, so stressed out, and spread ourselves so thin. But I was taking care of my wife and not taking care of myself. But listen, you have come too far to quit now. Don't even entertain the thought when the devil comes and says you can quit now. You've endured this and you've endured that, so you've earned the right to quit. Never. Never. Christians don't quit. And the only way we can be defeated is if you and I willingly give up.
Amen.
Only way.
Amen.
The only way a Christian can be defeated is if he or she gives up. Because God will not give up on you. And the Bible tells me, he said, "I will never." Now, that's a long time, never. "I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee." God ain't going to quit on us. So here's this little boy running this race, and his dad's yelling at him from the sidelines. He said, "Son, don't quit. Hold your ground. Dig deep and focus on the finish." Between the sound of his father's voice and the breath on the back of his neck from the boy in third place, he apparently found a new source of strength. The look on his face changed from numb exhaustion to a grimace of pure agony and determination all mixed together. A renewed focus. Wow. So here's this young boy, he's totally exhausted. His legs are burning, and I know a lot of you guys do sports. His legs are burning. His chest is heaving. He can't hardly breathe. But he heard a voice. He heard a voice that says, "You can do this. You can make it." And our Heavenly Father speaks to us, and he says, "Listen, Gerald Rutherford, you've had more things happen to you in 1 year than people have in a lifetime. But here, Pastor Rutherford, I'm telling you, don't quit. Don't quit. And he didn't quit. But you know what he got? A renewed focus.
Amen.
A renewed focus. And every one of us in here, at times, and maybe today's the day, that we need to have a renewed focus. That we need to really zone in and zoom in on what it is that God wants us to do. Now, after Pastor Shirley spoke over me, and that's why when she said, you're going to be busier, and that's why I went, oh, no. Please don't say that. But God is already telling me. Now, he spoke that to me. That was God. I'm telling you, I know it, and I know it, and I know it. But that's okay. Because God's telling me in advance now what he's going to do. And he's going to require more of me. And I'm standing here in the flesh thinking, that's not possible. Well, what's impossible with men? Oh, no. It's possible with God, so I can't get out of that. I just say, okay, Lord. I know you can do it. A renewed focus made all the difference in his ability to fight to the finish. His legs started moving faster as he held his ground and pushed to the end of his race to hand the baton to his team member who would run after him. Many of us in here have been running our race, serving the Lord for a long time. Yes, we do get tired. The things of life come up and just knock us down. But I never have found, I've been preaching for about close to 40 years, I've never found one time in the Bible where it told me or you that we can quit. I don't think it's in there. I don't see where the Lord said, okay, Jack, you can quit. You can just sit down, twiddle your thumbs, and quit. Life is like that sometimes. It's like a race you're trying to run. Even though you've exhausted your resources and are simply out of steam. Yet the writer of Hebrews encourages us in today's key verse, run with endurance. The race God has set before you. Run with endurance. Run with endurance. It's like Ricardo was saying earlier. You people get to know you. People get to know you. They know you're a Christian. They know you're a believer. You live your life differently. And people will see you. Walmart or wherever it's at. Sometimes they'll even say, you know what, I don't know how you do what you do. Bingo. Opening. I don't know how you do what you do and remain sane. I don't know how you do it. People tell me that up home. I'm chaplain for 3 different veterans organizations. I'm a chaplain for one of the hospitals. I'm a commissioner for the Veterans Service Commission. I go to school 4 times a year for that. And I'm traveling all over the place preaching and trying to take care of my house and everything else. And sometimes I come home at the end of the day, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and I collapse in my chair. And I think, you know what? Tomorrow's coming. And it's going to be the same or worse. But listen, God has given me the opportunity to serve him. God saved my soul. God died on a cross for Jack and for all of you in here. How can I not do it? How can I not when somebody calls and says, my brother just passed away, he fell in the river and drowned, 41 years old. Can you do his funeral? When? I'll be there. My car's broke down. Can you take me to Pittsburgh to see my mom in the hospital? I can't, but I will. What? Listen, our life, we gave it away. When I went to an altar and knelt and asked God to forgive me my sins, and I said, Lord, I give you my life, because I've messed it up. I got saved when I was 30. For 30 years, I messed my life up. I really messed it up. So I said, Lord, if you'll forgive me my sins and come into my heart, I'm going to give my life to you. Well, I don't have a say-so. I'm just using this. And God is, trust me, trust God. He will not maybe take care of you. And we're all running a race. And you know what? Sometimes we get tired, don't we? We get tired. I don't just cut the phone line to the house, blow up my cell phone, whatever you got to do. I just need a rest. And we do. There's times when we just need to rest. But the thing is, maybe you're worn out from doing too much, too fast. Maybe your body presents a challenge as you battle physical ailments that slow you down. Maybe your emotional or mental energy is low as you fight to maintain a positive outlook and trust God for his best. Even though it seems like you only fall further behind in your finances, relationships, your health, your career. But focus on the finish. Paul said it. So I want to encourage you today to hold your ground and dig deep. Run that race with endurance, perseverance. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't allow yourself to entertain the thought of quitting. People do it every day. But God didn't call you to quit. He never said you could quit. But people do. There's a lot of Christians I know back home that have quit. They said the persecution's too much. People talk about me, do this or do that. I'm going to quit. Whatever God has asked you to do, do it well. Whatever God's got you doing or has asked you to do, do it well. Do it with gusto. Do it with everything you've got. Your race will not last forever. You hear that? Your race will not last forever. There's a time stamp on every one of us. There's a time stamp on every one of us sitting here. Someday, we're going to be able to do as Paul said, I've fought that fight. I've run my race. And laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. But we have an obligation while we're here. I will not promise you that it won't be hard or it won't require some serious determination, but I can promise you this. God, your Father, is watching and cheering you on as you fight to the finish. You've been running, and maybe you're getting tired. You've been tempted to give up and quit trying. But let us run our race well and live our lives well for Him. Let us fight to the finish on this leg of our journey. Let us renew our focus, hold our ground, and dig deep. The Apostle Paul said this, 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me a crown. One of the hardest decisions you'll ever face in life is choosing whether to walk away or try harder. I'm going to share one last thing, and I want to leave you with this. Don't throw in the towel. You know the old saying? I'm sick and tired of it. I'm fed up with it. I'm just throwing in the towel. Quitter. Wimp. Well, you don't understand my situation. Quitter. Wimp. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Jesus told the apostles when they were coming in from fishing all night, they hadn't caught nothing. Probably didn't have a fishing license. They didn't catch nothing. Jesus standing on the shore, cooking up some fish. He knew. And what did Jesus tell them? Throw out your net. They quit. Jesus said, throw out your net. And by the way, throw it on the right side of the boat. So they throw out the net, started dragging in. It was so full of fish. And by the way, you know what kind of fish they were? Glad you asked. They were large. It's the truth. That's what the Bible says. It was large fish. Jesus is a large God. Amen. You know, he just don't give you a little this, a little that. He's big God, large God. They draw that thing in. It almost busted the net, and it was full of large fish. So don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Throw out a net in faith, trusting God. So remember this. If you don't remember anything about this message, don't quit. God never quit on us. God will never quit on us. And so who told you could quit? If anybody comes and tells you to quit, you say this: the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Because that's who's going to come and tell you can quit. The Lord will, you will never hear that from the Lord. You'll never hear the Lord say, okay, Jack, you can quit. He wants to use everything that he's given me, all the resources he's invested in me, he wants to use all of that for his glory, and every one of you the same. Don't quit. We're not allowed to quit. We have to persevere. We have to move on. And when you have fought your fight and finish your race, God will let you know. He'll let you know when. We're not allowed to quit. Throw out a net. Don't quit. Don't throw in a towel. Don't even grab one. And we sang this morning, revive us with your fire. Revive us with your fire. And it's so easy to say that, but are we really willing to be revived? Do we want revival? Do we want to be refreshed and renewed and challenged? Because we need to run this race, and we need to finish it. Because, listen, people are looking at you. People are looking at you. When I, back home, when I go into bank or the credit union or anywhere, wherever it is, oh, hello, Mr. Ernest, how are you today? And you know what they'll tell me? Never mind. Already know. I said, well, since you're so smart, how am I? Oh, you're marvelous. Amen. I said, you do know, don't you? I make a choice every morning when I get up. Amen. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. Choose ye this day. I have a choice, and I explained it to people. I said, listen, in my house, when I come out of my bedroom, walk across the hallway and into the living room, and I look at the end, there's a mantle, there's a fireplace and a mantle. And on that mantle, there's little mason jars. And this one says marvelous, and this one says great, and this one says good, and this one starts to say so-so, and this one says I ain't getting it, I can't do it, I'm nasty, I'm bitter, I'm angry. So the Bible says, choose ye this day. So why would I be so stupid not to go up there and pick up that jar that says marvelous, take off the lid, drink, because God's going to fill it up. I put it back on there. Now I've chosen my day. I'm marvelous. Then I go down the road, and here's this wild dude flying on the entrance ramp, blows his horn. Excuse it. You know what they do, right? Yep. They do that hand signal. And he almost hit my car, and I swerve out of the way, almost go in the ditch. And I go down the road, and I start open the console, going to get that little concealed thing in there, that pistol. Yeah, I catch this dude, you know. Wait a minute. That's probably the guy that you're going to run into in McDonald's. But don't let somebody steal your joy. Don't do that. Don't quit. Don't let nobody steal your joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Whom shall I fear? And in the presence of the Lord is a little bit of joy. So get a little bit. Huh? There you go. You wouldn't believe how many churches I preach in, and they'll let me slide with misquoting scripture. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness. So if you need some joy, get in the presence of the Lord. So don't quit. Don't quit. No matter what you go through, and you're young and you're facing stuff, you young sweethearts over there, you're facing all kinds of stuff, you're just getting into it. And you get like, man, I can't take this anymore. Dad, I'm done with this, Dad. I ain't going to go no more. I ain't going to do it no more. Yeah, you are. Because he loves you. He's where he's at because he didn't quit. Mary, you're where you are because you didn't quit, give up. I know you guys been through some stuff. But Pastor Jerry, golly, man, that guy, you know what? He could have been three Marines in one. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm quitting. Don't nobody say hallelujah. Thank you for letting me be here. But hey, I love you guys. Don't just don't even entertain the thought of ever giving up. I know it gets tough, but I know. But listen, there's too many people that have watched your life. They know you're a Christian. They know. When I'd be working on something and it wouldn't work, I didn't need that screwdriver anymore. I went for the hammer. I busted more stuff, cost myself more money, because I would let that come on me. But now, I refuse to quit. I've had a lot of opportunities to quit. And I had a brother, past tense had, 34 years old, Vietnam veteran. You know, he quit. He took a shotgun and ended his life. 34 years old. He chose to quit. And he did. Still to this day, his two sons are now in their 40s. They still suffer from the fact that their father quit. They still suffer from the fact that their father quit. Don't be a quitter. Be an overcomer.
Amen.
Because people, believe it or not, just like Ricardo said, people, listen, the world needs us. And I say that in humility. The world needs you. Your friends need you. Your family needs you to not quit. They need you to stay strong, even though they don't want to hear what you got to say. But then you know what? I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I want you to stay saved and serve the Lord so that in my time of need, I can come to you. Wow. He actually said that. Although I ain't living a Christian life, I want you to do it so that if I ever get to a place where I need help, I know somebody I can come to. Don't quit. Praise God.
Amen.
My brother Jack was preaching about not quitting. A thought went through my mind. One of the reasons that people quit is because they look around them and they look at their circumstances, and by looking at their circumstances and thinking about what's going on around them, they get the feeling, I'm losing. I'm losing. You know, there was a young boy one time keeping his father's sheep. And this man that he didn't know, and his father came down to where he was keeping the sheep. And the man took a flask of oil and he poured it out on this young man's head. The man was Samuel and the young boy was David, and what he was doing was anointing him king of Israel. And David went into battle for the king against Goliath. And he took him down with God's help. And the people were rejoicing, and they said of David, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his 10,000. And the man that was backing David didn't like that. The people were looking at David with more esteem than they were him. And things went from bad to worse for David. Now he's been anointed by the prophet to be the next king of Israel. And everything is going belly up. And he ends up down in the cave of Adullam. Now how easy, when David looked at his circumstances, how easy would it to have been to believe that, okay, David, here you are, this is what you got. That guy that poured that oil on your head was a nut. You haven't seen anything that he said was going to happen. But there was something in David. In spite of the fact that he was in the cave at Adullam, or Adullam. It's easy to say Adullam. And everybody was forsaking him. And then he came back to his hometown, and it had been raided, and the town was burned, and everybody wanted to kill him. His own people turned against him. Looking at the circumstances, how easy would it have been for David to say, oh, I'm through with this. I'm going. Well, as a matter of fact, he did decide at one point he's going over to Gad. Hide out among the Gadites. That's where Goliath was from. And he pretended like he was crazy. I mean, you know, he went over there and he acted like an idiot just so people think he was crazy and they'd leave him alone. And then he comes back home. His wife's gone, everything's gone, the city's burned, all the people that were there are carried off. And that prophet down there anointing me to be king, look what a mess. But you know what it said? And David strengthened himself in the Lord. And basically saying, it may look like I'm down and out now, but I'm coming back. And I can say from experience over the last 5 years, there was a lot of times when it looked like I was down and out, but in my heart and in Laverne's heart, we were saying, he's coming back. And so, don't look at your circumstances. Don't be moved by what's going on around you. And most of all, don't be moved by what's not going on around you. And you don't see the glory that is promised to you. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Keep the faith. Looking to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The Old Testament prophet said, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When we get it, when we lose our peace, it's when we lose our focus. We get our mind off of God. We get our mind off of what Jesus did. We get our mind off of who we are in Christ. And then we lose our peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank you, Brother Jack. I'm thinking, you know, I wanted to preach that sermon. But I didn't have to because God sent him down here to do it. But I tell you, when you look around and you see things, don't get discouraged by what you don't see. And don't get discouraged by what you do see. Because you can do it either way. Things you want to see and you don't see them, you can get discouraged. The things you don't want to see, and there they are, and that discourages you. But it's a choice. Finish the course, keep the faith, or quit. And there ain't any other alternative. I choose to keep the faith. I choose not to quit. And I challenge you to do the same. Don't quit. No matter what faces you, don't quit. Now before you leave, or as you're leaving, there's going to be a basket back there for you to bless Brother Jack for the ministry this morning. And I think you need to put something in it. If you don't have a lot, put a little. If you got a lot, put a lot. But do something. Because God's giving you a word this morning. God's saying, if you don't quit, I won't. And I got news for you. If you quit, he's not going to quit anyway. If we are faithless, Paul said to Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. You can always count on him. And the devil will tell you sometimes that he can't count on you. God can't count on you. Well, God can't count on you. That's not the issue. Make yourself available and let God do the doing. You know, it wasn't David that killed Goliath. That was God that killed Goliath. And the things that you're going through that you can't get out of, don't worry about whether or not you can get out of them. Trust God. He can get out of them. He can get you out of them. I know that from experience. Let's stand. Just challenge you. If you go out of here, go out of here like a lion. Go out of here like a lion looking for something. Just come around. I'm ready. He said something during the message, and I'm sitting over there, and a thought ran through my mind. Yeah, that's like a gunfighter in the Old West. Okay, I'll meet you in the street. You got the guts? Come on, I'll meet you in the street. Tell the devil that. You want to step outside? Just step out in the street, and we'll settle this. The devil said, well, no, wait a minute. Let's talk about it a while. And then he'll try to talk you out of it. Now, we're not talking me out of it. We're going to do it now. You either get out of here, or you go for your gun. Be tough. Be tough. Heavenly Father, for everyone here this morning, let us take this message with us. Let us walk out of here saying, I'm not going to quit. I'm never going to quit. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm never going to be defeated. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and in his presence is fullness of joy. God gave me joy and peace, and the devil absolutely is not going to steal it from me. No matter what he tries to use, because I win. I look at the finish line, and I see me crossing it. And that's exactly the way it's going to be, and I'm not going to have it any other way. And I'm going to run the race. I'm going to finish the course, and I'm going to keep the faith. Let that be our prayer and our heart's cry, Lord God, as we go out of here today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have the best week of your life.